The time is 9:06, currently overcast skies and 35 degrees downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Before we talk about what to expect here in hour number two, we always start off the second hour with a look at the weather, and we're getting towards the weekend. And if you have any outdoor activities planned, if you're heading off to see some high school football tonight in playoff action or whatever it may be, what can we expect weather-wise? Well, to find out, we're joined again from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Bit of an overcast start here this morning, but nothing too bad, as no precipitation at this point. But as we get into Friday, we get into the weekend, what is on the horizon for us weather-wise?
Well, it does look like today's going to be our coolest day for this particular forecast. We are looking at a warmer weekend ahead and continuing to warm here into the start of the work week, Monday into Tuesday. For your day on today, for your Friday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies throughout the day. Highs getting up right around about the upper 30s. We should be in the mid-40s, so a little bit below average for this time of the year as this cold front pushes through. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy. Overnight lows around about 27. Temperature-wise, not much of a difference tomorrow. We'll see high around about 40 degrees. A slight chance for rain and snow mixing in the afternoon for your Veterans Day. Nothing too thrilling with that. That is just a slight chance tomorrow with partial sunshine, but a pretty decent day here coming in on Sunday as a warm front comes in, mostly sunny, high around 49. Looks like 51 degrees here for your day on Monday with some sunshine, and then our warmest day comes in by Tuesday. A little bit of cloud cover with partial sunshine developing, and 10 degrees above average, high gets up around about 54.
Very nice. In fact, it's nice to have the warm temperatures and the sunshine, especially this time of year. You have some, I think as we get into the winter, it feels like we get less and less sunshine. To get a combination of both the warmer temperatures and the sunshine sounding outstanding as we get into early next week. So that's some good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Definitely a few days to take advantage of.
Well, have yourself a great weekend, and we'll catch you again on Monday.
Thanks so much. You too.
That is our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki, again joining us here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Right now, 35 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Continues to be a bit cloudy and a little bit gusty at times. Right now, in terms of the dew point, 29, relative humidity of 79%. The barometer at 30.18 inches. The winds are out of the northwest at 11 miles per hour. And the wind chill factor is 27 degrees. Again, coming up in just a little bit at about 9:20, we'll be joined by Paul Miklik to talk some more Wisconsin sports. Also, would like to welcome in again our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Again, I know that heading towards the weekend, I know that you helped me out on Saturday morning, so the weekend itself doesn't really start until after a Saturday morning, because Saturday mornings every week during college football season, we have Sully's College Football page. I co-host with Dan Sullivan, but you're also here pushing the buttons for us as well. So really, your weekend doesn't really get started until my weekend gets started at about 11 o'clock Saturday morning.
No, honestly, my weekend starts Friday evening.
by the way, real quickly, I know that last night you were going to go off and do a little Broadway karaoke. How'd that go?
Yes. Oh, it was so much fun. A great turnout. So many people. A lot of great songs that I got to sing. It was so much fun.
And what did you sing ultimately last night?
I sang Don't Let Me Go from Shrek the Musical.
Very good. And you said also previously that this is a somewhat regular event that goes on over at Whitewater Music Hall, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's not just the Broadway karaoke. They have different karaoke segments like every month.
Very, very good.
They do like a show tunes. They did an 80s karaoke. All sorts of different themes, but a Broadway karaoke is one of their annual ones they try to do every couple of months. And it's a very big turnout. And, man, it was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again.
Terrific. Glad you enjoyed it and glad so many other people were able to enjoy it as well. Big news yesterday, and sometimes try to mainly focus here central Wisconsin, Wisconsin itself. But I got a few thoughts here on Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin, the Democratic senator from West Virginia, perhaps, and I think almost inarguably the most conservative Democrat in the United States Senate, announced yesterday that he would not be running for re-election. And number one, obviously, that puts West Virginia very much in almost certainly the Republican crosshairs for next year as they try to flip the United States Senate, which is now on a very narrow basis controlled by the Democrats. And of course, here in Wisconsin, a very important Senate election involving Tammy Baldwin coming up in 2024. But with Manchin, the thing is, he's not just going to go off into the sunset, 76 years old, go back on his boat that he lives on, multimillionaire. Nope, he is actually going to start traveling the country, he says, announcing what his next move will be. Manchin said that he'll be traveling the country and speaking out to see if there's an interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle. It sounds an awful lot like he may have taken the ghouls at No Labels, and this No Labels political movement, up on their bid to court him as a third-party presidential candidate for 2024. The, quote, centrist, end quote, group, which could hand the election to Donald Trump, is one of his biggest donors, after all. What may have just been a Senate seat lost to Republicans might now become an unimaginably grating spoiler campaign that primarily benefits corporate funders. And the thing about it is, while the Democrats have had this very narrow majority in the U.S. Senate, one of the biggest roadblocks to true progressive legislation has been Joe Manchin. And it's not because he's this guy that truly wants to just be a middle-of-the-road kind of guy. He is a guy that is basically bought and sold by fossil fuel. In fact, Manchin last year advised a room of fossil fuel executives, according to a new Republic article that was just put out today, says, use the same type of approach when you have politicians that come and ask for support that you do when you make a financial decision for yourself and your family. You want a return on investment. And that's what Joe Manchin is all about. He wants a return on investment. He wants to come out ahead. And when you look at the last 14, 15 years, since his first run for the Senate in 2010, he has accepted $1.4 million worth of campaign contributions from the oil and gas industry. In fact, in 2021, an ExxonMobil lobbyist bragged that he spoke to Manchin every week. He earned three times more money from his family's fossil fuel business last year than he made as a United States senator. Manchin has been spending the first half of the Biden administration shaving down the climate spending in the bill that became the Inflation Reduction Act. He axed everything from power plant pollution penalties to a bonus for electric cars made with union labor. At one point, he said he would not even vote for the package at all. Then he decided he would. In between all that, he found time to block Sarah Bloom Raskin's nomination to become the Federal Reserve's top banking cop, largely, it seemed, because she supported factoring climate risk into banking rules. Throughout the whole tortured process, media coverage fixated on the inner workings of Manchin's mind. Was he influencing the package so that more Republicans would come on board? No. Was he simply being realistic about what he could vote for and still win re-election? Well, obviously not, because he's not running for re-election. He is basically a guy that likes to be in front of the cameras. And he's also greedy when it comes to money. Greedy, attention-seeking, a few reactionary beliefs, and can be erratic as well, as we've seen. He can say one thing and then all of a sudden change his mind and go in another direction. And basically, he looks after himself, stripping anything that might pose a threat to his donors and his own business interests on what became the Inflation Reduction Act. Got a little antsy, then agreed to a deal once he'd secured enough sweeteners for polluters. Oh, obviously, it's better Manchin ended up voting for the Inflation Reduction Act than not. But I saw a good line that said, you don't start thanking the man who cut off your foot for not taking the whole leg either. I mean, in the idea that he's traveling the country, listening to people. Number one, he knows right now. He's either running for president on the No Labels ticket or he's not. He's not going around the country listening to people, because if he was, he would know that members of his own party, he says he's a Democrat, even though in many ways he has voted like a Republican and caused as much problems as Republicans. But if you're truly somebody that's a Democrat and somebody that has said he's friends with the President of the United States, do you then throw your hat in the ring to be a third party candidate that has no chance of winning? Ultimately, all these travels as well, I'm sure he'll be making paid speeches. This guy is somebody that really enjoys putting more money in the bank account. And the thing about it as well, even beyond the money, he's a guy that loves the spotlight. You've seen it over the years. I mean, the man loves being the man that's ultimately going to decide whether or not a piece of legislation gets passed or can change it in significant ways before he gives his support. He's going to spend a few months making a lot of money in the spotlight. I mean, if this guy truly goes around in campaigns, I'll be proven wrong. But he's going to go around making some pretty good money on some speeches and also having the media lapping up everything he says, because that's what the media does these days. It's sad in so many ways. He's not going to win. He's not going to have to go through the trouble of actually being president. He's just going to be out there in the spotlight for the next year in 2024. Sad, sad stuff. And then after 2024 is over, maybe he'll go and get a board seat at ExxonMobil or something like that. So big news yesterday, Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, not running for re-election. The time is 9:18. We're going to come back, talk some Wisconsin sports. Big week. Big changes for the Brewers. Packers getting set to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Badgers trying to get back on the winning track tomorrow. And the Bucks getting 54 from Giannis, but not enough last night. So lots to talk about with Paul Mickley coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. The new season tips off on Tuesday night for the Marathon High School girls basketball team as the Red Raiders play host to Loyal. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Marathon basketball on Bull Falls Radio is brought to you by County Materials, Marathon Industrial Finishing, Underwood Construction, The Dirks Group, Brickners of Little Chicago, The People State Bank, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Marathon Family Dentistry, Twin Force Products, the Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Cheese, Marathon City Sports Center, and Marathon Parts City. It's Marathon taking on Loyal in high school girls basketball Tuesday night, starting with the pregame show at 7 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, 35 degrees. Overcast skies at 921. And joined by Paul Micklick on our weekly Friday visit. I got to tell you, this week, maybe it was the bombshell that went off on Monday, but I've multiple times said the wrong time. I've been either an hour off, and in fact, earlier today, I brought on a guest and I was 2 hours off. And I'm thinking, my mind is slipping away in some way. I don't know what's going on here.
And the funny thing is, I was just about to compliment you how you have that so smooth entry, and I had to do it last week.
But did you notice I looked at my clock? Because I better look at my clock before I say it's 7:22. It's actually 9:22 in the morning. But
I'm happy it's 9:22 instead of 7:22.
I know, exactly right. But hey, I mean, lots to talk about. I mean, man, oh man, I mean, you know, you got Giannis scoring 54, not winning. You got the Packers getting set to try and win in Pittsburgh for the first time in 53 years. You got the Badgers trying to come back and get back on the winning track. But who would have thunk it here in November? I'd be talking Brewer baseball as Monday, Craig Counsell announced he was heading to the Chicago Cubs and leaving the crew. And I'm kicking myself because I should have just hit record yesterday at lunch and we could just play that back since we talked about it. But I guess, you know, one of the big things that was interesting to me is in this era, you can't hide anything anymore. You hear about things, and then to see, you know, Monday afternoon, Craig Counsell going to the Cubs. I mean, I'll give him an award for being able to, and the Cubs for being able to keep this under wraps until it finally came out.
Yeah, because, I mean, the first time I think anybody heard something different than for sure the Mets was Monday morning.
It was like an hour before.
Yes, it was an hour before that. And there was a possibility of a team that we didn't know.
That had a manager.
So, I mean, it was crazy that they did keep it up under wraps like that. And that's credit to them, obviously, to keep it. When you throw something like that, I think everybody was... It's not that... that people don't move jobs and things like that. That's part of life. I think it was just that the people are getting a little rattled because of who it went to.
And sports is emotion. I mean, no matter what level it is, I mean, when you follow sports, it's all about emotion. So it's going to be different than anything else. And I was actually thinking about that last night after actually talking to you. It's like, you can't, and you actually called me on, you know, in terms of how I look at this. And I was thinking about that. And you can't put to the side pure emotion when it comes to sports, can you?
No, I mean, that's everything.
For fans and players and everybody.
You can go back to Giannis's technical and ejection the other night where it's emotion. I mean, it doesn't matter what is going on. It doesn't matter what sport, there is emotion, and it's hard not to have it on the sleeve of yourself. And the ironic thing is baseball, you probably have it's different because most of the time in council, he's always level-headed. Do you know what I'm saying? So if there's one guy that is level-headed exactly. all the time, he doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. And what his decision caused ripples, you know what I mean, through the state of Wisconsin. And
everybody but council was emotional about this, I think. I'm sure there's someone.
He was upset. It was a tough decision.
I'm sure. No, but I mean in terms of Craig was never going to be one that – because you saw in Whitefish Bay some, you know, graffiti put out there and stuff like that. Yep. You know, and even Mark Antanasio, there was emotion that said, well, he's lost us. And that was an emotional statement. Craig is going to come out. He's going to do what he does. I mean, that's the way the guy is. And that's one reason why that he's had success both as a player and as a manager.
Correct, because he does stay level. And this was, and I know we've talked before, but I don't think this was a one- or two-reason situation. I think this was thought out and what was best, and not just for him, but for his family. Chicago, he's got two kids in separate states playing college baseball, and he's got family left at home. Mm-hmm. So they may not have to move. So he's only a quick, you know, a plane ride to Michigan, or a quick plane ride to Minnesota, a drive back to Wisconsin. I think he's got
more money to spend on those trips.
And the funny thing is, you're the one that was accusing me of saying it was all about money.
I couldn't help say that.
So I think there was more. It wasn't just here's a guy like, and I like to sometimes think, and I think you're the same way. They're very simple people, and his two loves in his life are family in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
There is no hobbies. There is no, those are his hobbies. Those are his things. So I think there is more into it than $8 million. But I'm sure that didn't hurt though. But
I actually gave him credit. And I know we've talked a little bit about this, but I give him credit for thinking about it. Wasn't all the $8 million wasn't all about him. It was about lifting the floor for managers. And that's important to him because he has done this in the past where he's a member of the players union, and he looked at it in that way. So I do give him credit for that. Let's think big picture for Milwaukee now, because one thing it does do for Milwaukee, it does give them options on what they want to do next. Because if they were to kept counsel, I think you have to maybe make decisions that are more to the to today and next year. Now they, if they want to, they can maybe cut bait on a Corbin Burns or think about Willy Adames and maybe make moves that would have been different than if you had Craig Counsell coming back. Would you agree on that? It opens up possibilities, I think, for them to decide where they want to be, maybe not just this year, but within the next 3 to 5 years with some of the young talent that's coming through the system.
Yeah, I think they had a lot of decisions coming up either way. And I don't know if, but we can go back to they had him and they got rid of Hader. And
that's true.
And so I don't know if at the end of the day, and you know what? That might be another reason why a decision in there where he didn't get the input that he wanted. We don't know. We don't know what the situation is. And maybe in Chicago they said you can have input into, you know, who comes and goes. We don't know.
I hope I see the behind the scenes article that I pay for The Athletic. That's what I'm looking for, where people start talking about what exactly did happen, because those are always, it's always interesting to see exactly what happened. You got to keep it right here because we do have to take a news break here. We got the news update here in just a moment, and then back with more with Paul Micklegg. We'll finish up our Brewer discussion, but then talk about the Packers and the Badgers and maybe a little Bucks as well. A lot to talk about, but we'll continue here at 9:29 here on the Friday morning. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes with Hack with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:34 here on this Friday morning, overcast skies and 35 degrees, talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklegg. I'm ready to move on. Anything you wanted to add about Council of the Brewers, anything else, or should we move on with all this other good stuff to talk about?
We move on. Baseball doesn't start for another.
Exactly. So we can talk about when they hire a new manager, and make a trade.
The thing is, if they were, that's another thing that's going to be interesting, though, I will say, is if they've talked about this in September and they had a gut feeling that he was leaving, they would have a plan already in place. So if it's a quick hire, then they did.
And the whole thing as well, real quickly, is it was not unknown that there was a possibility the whole year. Everything that was said, even before the season, this was because normally in this situation, you don't go into a lame duck season. You either sign them to an extension or you kind of have a feeling, well, things are going in a certain direction. So I would think they would have been derelict of duty if they didn't have a listing of some possibilities, not just in the last month since September, but going way back even before the season.
And the guy, and again, that I keep hearing is, and this would make sense to me if they did it within the next week, is the bench coach. If it's Murphy, if it's Murphy, then you kind of know that that's where they were leaning toward.
And also, if all these coaches are under contract, because if they're all under contract, it's almost as though, I don't think Mark wants to pay them all off to leave if you get a new manager who doesn't want to have some of these guys. So
he's going to try to keep that as stable as possible. So it's not so dramatic.
Right.
I agree.
That's the feel that, and especially now that some of the other teams have already hired managers. So, I mean, the whole pool is a little more shallow than it would have been if they would have known, if they would have said, okay, last day of the season, we're starting the managerial search and we're going to bring in guys to interview, there's a few guys off the market right now that would have been like Voit from Cleveland now, kind of guy, a younger guy. Because Milwaukee, you get the sense they would not go into the Buck Showalter pool or anything like that. A veteran guy that just got released.
Why would one of those guys take that job?
Right. Those are the guys like Dusty Baker when he took Houston, because he knew that it wasn't a rebuilding process.
Bingo.
That's so exactly right. Let's talk about the Badgers. Badgers got Northwestern last week. If I'm not mistaken, when you were guest hosting for me on Sully's college football page, that you felt like Indiana was a good pick in that game?
They played well against Penn State the week before.
Yes, they did.
And they seemed, they're at home. It just seemed, and they kind of had enough offense to score enough points against Wisconsin's defense. And I don't think Wisconsin's offense, with how many guys were missing, I don't think it mattered what they showed, because I think they were coming in with the worst the rushing defense, and mm-hmm. we couldn't rush until the second half. So it just seemed like there is no way that should have been a 9.5 point spread. I don't know where these people are looking sometimes.
So you went over to the sports book at, I see commercials all the time for one of the places they got a sports book. So you might want to.
I should have. I didn't, because I don't gamble, but unfortunately.
Oh, what you're missing.
yeah.
But no, the Badgers now 5-4. It'd be nice for them to come out and just pound somebody, wouldn't it?
That's not going to happen.
I know, but it feels like they kind of need that right now. And Northwestern, again, they're better than they were expected, but they're still a team that you would like to see the Badgers come out, especially at Camp Randall, to be able to just to kind of pound them. I mean, they need a pounding, don't they?
I could see them winning the last three games, but I do not see them pounding anybody in the last three games, and it's just a rock.
This is the one that you gotta get, because Nebraska and Minnesota are gonna be much more difficult.
Correct, and the crazy thing, I mean, we sat here a couple of weeks ago and I said the bowl game is not a guarantee. Now they did get that win against Illinois. Right now that's looking huge.
Yeah, and based on what Illinois has done, that's, you know, it's like huge too, because they've actually played better.
Correct, and they were playing better. I mean, it's just we were sitting back here in the spring, and we were talking about national championship, and now we're sitting here 6 months later, 5 months later, and we're talking about getting to a bowl game.
And the thing about, you know, generally, because, again, it is patience is so short now. I mean, people say, well, we're going to be more patient, like with the Packers. But when things start going sideways, people's patience goes away rather quickly. But with the Badgers, when you look forward, I think Luke Fickell is still a good coach. I think he's capable of building a good program. But the thing about it is that I find a little concerning is, for years, the Badgers would do things differently than, say, Michigan or Ohio State or some of the other Big Ten powers. And now you got Michigan and Ohio State, you got USC, you got Oregon, you got Washington, who all get these incredible athletes who fling it around, who try to basically use their athletes to beat their opponents. And now with a guy like Fickell and this air raid offense and maybe a different feel in terms of the defense, you don't have the fullback. I don't think they're going to, you know, count on their running backs as much as they have over the years, where some of the best running backs in the country would say, hey, I'm going to go to Wisconsin because we're going to pound that football. It feels like Wisconsin is going to have to beat these teams at their own game. I always felt like it was a better roadmap for Wisconsin to kind of do things differently, to out-tough them, to do it differently than Michigan, do it differently than Ohio State. I find it hard to think that just those five teams, let alone the rest of the Big 20 or Big 18 or whatever it's going to be, that's going to be a very difficult task here in the next few years, isn't it?
I think going forward with the teams that are coming in, I don't know how that the reason why this year, and again, you're right about the patience, it was because of the schedule. And I'm still looking at the schedule.
I know.
It's terrible.
They should be better.
They should have a better.
They should easily have been the division champions based on what we've seen from these other teams, because all these other teams are not good.
I mean, even Washington State, who they they've fallen off. I think they're 1-5 or 1-5 in the Pac-10. Those are the teams that we're going to be playing.
Then, remember, that wasn't a terrible loss. Huh? It looks like a terrible loss now.
And then you got Iowa. Okay, and then you got Indiana, and then the only loss that was I don't want to say acceptable, would have been Ohio State.
Right.
So that means you should have been undefeated going into the Ohio State game, and who knows what would have happened. And I thought they did play well that game.
Yeah.
But and now look at us. Now we're fighting for a bowl game. I mean, that's why the patience, because you're right, is people are looking at next year already, 2 years from now, going, how are we going to compete against these teams if we don't have the
proverbial window. The window. Yeah, go through the window when it's open. Next year, when you look at that schedule and look at the teams coming in, slam. I mean,
the one thing with Fickell, and it worked, and I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but he had more talent probably than the teams that he was playing. He didn't have more talent than the big teams that he was playing at Cincinnati.
Right.
But he was 10-11, 12-0 going before he would get to them. Mm-hmm. Do you, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Now it's going to be every week is going to be a game, and you're going to have those teams might have more talent. How are you going to beat them?
That is the question, because that's, again, why I always felt like it's good to do things differently. Because, I mean, back when you were in the Marrowwood, you couldn't go try to beat these teams what they did. You had to try to, you know, use your mind in terms and use the kids that you had to do things differently, to try to, you know, for lack of a better term, almost trick them at times, and to try to put yourself in a position. Because if you go man-to-man, you look at, you know, the rosters, and when Wisconsin faces even USC next year, I mean, it's like, what position are you going to say, oh, yeah, we got a better athlete here, or, you know, a five-star compared to a four-star? I mean, it's scary stuff.
We had the line.
So you got to use your strength, and that was Wisconsin's strength, exactly, to try to use the best running back in the country, because every year they bring in a great running back. Do you think these running backs are going to say, well, do I want to be the guy now at Wisconsin? Maybe there's somewhere else that, because...
And the funny thing is, you say the best in the country, they fit the system.
Yes.
Because to be honest with you, if you look at the guys, the running backs, they didn't have success in the NFL.
And also, real fast, you know, the people talk about, you know, Paul Christ left, you know... not a great level of talent. The last few years of Christ, he had a better rankings in the recruiting than he did when they were winning big.
Yes.
So you're right about fit. And I think that maybe the Badgers went away from fit and then started just bringing in guys that, you know, looked the part.
Yep.
No, you're right. I think fit is a huge aspect that Barry and everybody since him has been able to use, and now it's like, oh, I'm not so sure about that.
And it goes back to that, you know, and I know you weren't a fan of him, and I think Coach Fickell is a good coach.
Yeah, no, I do too.
But when Anderson came in,
because he was doing things differently. Yeah.
He was doing things, and it wasn't, it just didn't fit.
And Barry Alvarez was right there, and I don't think he liked it, and that's why he said, oh, maybe you should think about going somewhere else.
Correct, and Alvarez wasn't the guy that hired Fickell, by the way. I mean, that's obviously so.
Right.
It was a change up there, too, that they wanted to go in a different direction.
And that is the big difference between Anderson and Fickell. Fickell's got his guy who hired him, who made a decision to go away from the Wisconsin tree, because he could have gone with Jim Leonard.
Yep.
He decided, no, we're going to try and take that next step. And so often, we've seen this so many times, where, remember in Nebraska at Frank Solich, they wanted to take that next step. They were winning 9 games every year or 10 games every year. That wasn't enough. They wanted to go back and win national championships. They went in a different direction. They brought in different kinds of guys. Where did it end up? Instead of taking a step up, they took a step down.
It's kind of with McIntosh. Wisconsin plays a huge game tonight in basketball. Tennessee's in the top 10.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting because they tried to push it. They set the record the other night with their points.
No, was that
and,
something?
And so was that him telling Greg Gard that they got to push the ball more? Are they going to go away from Bo Ryan? And are we going to end up with Greg Gard being gone? And they're going to put – because, again, it's the fit.
Exactly.
And I don't know if that's good to go away from it. It's going to be interesting because I think Wisconsin's more talented than they were last year. Actually, they are more talented than they were last year. Are they going to be better? I'm hoping, because I think Greg Gard's a great coach.
Yeah, and the thing about that as well is, again, instead of trying to beat them doing something differently, you're trying to beat them at their game. And that's if that's true, it's going to be a great test tonight, because Tennessee is always known as having the athletic kind of guys that can go up and down the court. So you're exactly right. That's going to be, and it was funny, you know, that you mentioned they scored more than 100 the other night. It was almost tongue in cheek. Somebody was saying, yeah, now they're complaining that the defense wasn't good enough. So people will complain about something no matter what. All these people that wanted guard to up tempo and score more, well, they couldn't get enough stops now, and that's going to come back and bite them eventually. It's hilarious stuff when you really think about it.
So they wanted them to beat them 100 to 20.
You want to still allow 43 points like they would do on those 53-43 games and also score 100 points. Yeah. No problem there, right? No problem there at all. I mean, gee whiz. I mean, what about MU? Did you see any of MU the other night? Marquette?
And they're probably a top talent-wise.
They looked it. From what
five
I saw,
to, five to ten, top 5-10 team in the nation, and they're going to have that pieces. They have all those pieces back for the most part, and some of them have gotten better, I think. And the question is, again, are they going to be able to beat those top tier teams playing the way they do? Mm-hmm. They did last year in the conference. They didn't when it came to Michigan State in the tournament, and they got ugly. It got ugly because they were the only team that like it's the NBA style where a 10-point lead is nothing.
Right.
Where Wisconsin used to be, a 10-point lead was like a 100-point lead. And so are they going to be able to win those close games? And that's going to be coming. I think Shaka Smart is a great coach too. So I think they proved it last year, winning some of those games last year. And I think that will carry over. And I think they are going to be a team that makes a deep run in the tournament.
I think that both Wisconsin and Marquette are going to be very interesting to watch. I do think that the Badgers are set up to be a much better team this year. And I think, as you said, Marquette is a team, but you don't want to say it, but you feel like this is a team that, you get to the Elite Eight, they should still be there, giving them a chance.
Yep.
And Wisconsin, if they get to the tournament, they're always a tough out because, I mean, Gard is a good coach. And I think you feel good against some of the other guys you'll see. So we'll have. Do you want to stick around a few more minutes? Because we haven't touched the pack yet.
Yeah.
So let's do that. We'll come right back. It is 9:49 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. On Thursday night, the Newman Catholic High School girls basketball team tips off the new season, traveling to Assumption to take on the Royals. Hear all the exciting action on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Newman Catholic High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio is brought to you by Red Robin Restaurant, Sun Printing, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Graphic Packaging International, the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Shine Chiropractic, and Menke Auto. It's Newman Catholic at Assumption in high school girls basketball, Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. Live on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And back here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app with Paul Micklick talking some Wisconsin sports heading into the weekend. And just last weekend was over in Green Bay for the state volleyball as the Newman Cardinals finished runner-up in Division 4. It was a beautiful Saturday, and at the rec center, they have you park in the Lambeau Field parking lot, and you're just looking at it, and it's just, you know, it was a sunny fall day, and you just feel it, you know, can you feel it, and you can feel it definitely, and, you know, thinking about Curly Lambeau, I mean, again, I wonder how many people know Curly Lambeau, because, you know, you see the name, it's always Lambeau Field. I wonder about the young people, do they know Curly Lambeau? In fact, he played, I believe, for Newt Rockne at Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken.
Newt Rockne, yeah.
I think it was Rockne. Maybe not Rockne, or maybe before that. I got to check that out. But I know he went to Notre Dame.
And there's a listener out there, and he's actually a Newman graduate, Jack Coltis. I know he's a big listener of this, and you had an opportunity to have an interview with him.
He was terrific, actually. I mean, it was really fun to talk to him about, you know, what a career, both in terms of what he did when he was a student athlete at the high school and college level, and then, you know, the success, you know, that I'm sure his Newman education and his Notre Dame education helped him to succeed in so many great ways.
Yeah, I'm sure it's about equal, education-wise.
Newman and Notre Dame? Well, especially with people like you in the halls of Newman Catholic, I tell you.
I mean, but yes.
But but the historical aspect in Sunday, historical matchup between the team of the 60s and the team of the 70s as the Packers go to Pittsburgh.
And I thought that they... happened to be at the game on Sunday, and
2 weeks ago you're at Madison watching the Badgers and Ohio State. Last week you're in Lambeau Field watching the Packers and the Rams.
Well, I can't just come on the show and not see it live, right, Chad?
That's the way to really get the feel.
You should have the company. You should be going to these games. You should be on all of them. Get that
by,
going.
By Sunday, I just like sitting on my couch and watching.
Actually. I would have preferred to get ready for the game tomorrow for a state championship game. But
I wasn't going to bring that up.
But I don't blame you. I like watching it. But once in a while, it is good to see the vibes and see it. And there's nothing like Lambeau Field. But I will say is the feeling at Lambeau Field is that you can see they're starting to realize where we're at. You know, it's in the middle of a rebuild. That's what this is, and if we don't understand that, then I think people are. I don't think Pittsburgh ever really went through a rebuild. Even they dropped. You know, they lost Roethlisberger and so forth. But have they ever done it? I think Green Bay doesn't want to either.
No, and the thing about it is, it hasn't been pretty so far for the Packers. It has not been pretty the last couple of years for Pittsburgh, but yet they're finding ways to win the similar kind of games. Like the Packers, was it 17-13 against the Raiders or Denver? Pittsburgh, every week, it's like 20-16. Or they're playing very similar games. So this has the feeling it should be 20-17 one way or the other.
Yep.
And basically, based on history, Pittsburgh seems to find ways to win those kind of games. The Packers' job is to try to change that up.
Now, with all Alexander, most likely, way it seems, now you're going to have two young guys out in the corner spot. That's going to be an issue defensively.
Availability.
Well, back injury, I'm going to give him the...
I know.
But I thought the rookie Valentine played really well on Sunday, and I think so that hopefully... But the part of it was because the quarterback couldn't throw the ball over the top.
And he's now out of a job.
Now he's out of a job.
You got cut.
I was wishing that he was going to Pittsburgh and then we play him again this week because that would have helped the cause.
Well, my theory was when I saw that, I thought, well, Mickley will say, well, this guy only got 3 points against a Joe Barry defense, so they obviously thought he's got to go.
That's actually true. That's actually facts. I mean, the thing is, what did I tell you? I think I said something to you after that. They got Joe Barry extension probably after that game, and we're going to be stuck with him.
And using all that money that they saved in the trade to Buffalo.
Yes, correct. And they're like, hey, look at this. Joe Barry's the man. But I
Joe Barry Stadium.
Because if they don't make a move after the season with him... we're gonna be in for this. This is gonna be a 3 or 4 year situation with this whole group, and I'm worried about that because I don't know if this is the group. If you look at that, the best play of the game was a play that LaFleur said that we studied some teams this week and we put that in when they faked it to the left, faked it to the right, and hit the tight end down the middle. I'm thinking to myself, you telling me that you don't have these plays before?
Don't you run that play all the time?
I mean, isn't it kind of a base play like that it took you to watch somebody else to watch it? I mean,
I've seen you run that.
Yes.
You know, right, to, you know, you fake them out, and all of a sudden there's a wide open tight end right down the middle.
Correct. I don't know how it took. I'm a little concerned by that whole the offense yet and how that's run.
Yeah, even last week, it took a long time for them to put away this Ram team that was just struggling. I mean, without their quarterback, you got to think that if Matt Stafford was in the starting lineup, it would have been maybe a much different game because the Packers really didn't pull away until very late.
Correct, until they start opening it up a little bit. I think they got to open it up a little bit more right off the bat and not be so. And again, I'm not disagreeing with their thought processes. They don't want to make Love be in a position where he throws a pass, an interception early or something. You're trying to make him easy passes. But on the flip side, he looks like he's his best when he is. He's
and you got to give Watson reigns. A chance to make a play. We saw him make a play.
One.
I mean, but still, you got to. I think it's not just Love. I think it's also that there's a lack of trust that these guys are separating. We talk about this all yep. the time. But at sometimes you got to say, okay, guys, it's time for you to make a play.
And I know people are saying, and everybody, people again, that he underthrew Watson on that throw. He did underthrow Watson on that throw. But I'm going to tell you this right now. He also, you see an all-pro receiver come back and make that play.
And that's what they want him to be. He's supposed to be the next Adams. Then. Yep. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, Chad, and we'll see you next week.
There you go. Stick around. CBS News coming up, and then As Goes Wisconsin from 10 until noon. We'll be back Monday from 8 till 10 here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.